All right, Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise, everybody say praise.
Praise.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer. Everybody say suffer. Suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But these have come that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Lord, I thank you that you have things in store for us, that you have things that are coming around the corner, that you, Lord, would be glorified in our midst, and, Lord, that we would be glorified in your midst. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and mighty and awesome. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, I think there's a lot of people here that know who this guy is. Not Teresa. Who? All right. I'm interested. Who does not know who this is? Get out of here, Juan Carlos. He is Tom Brady. He has won 5 Super Bowls. He is one of the most recognizable football players that you will come across. Well known. All right. He will be in the Super Bowl. He has 5 Super Bowl championship rings that he could wear, one for each finger. Perhaps you don't know, even if you're a football fan, who this guy is. It is, see, he didn't even say his name. His name is Nick Foles, and he is the Eagles quarterback. And he will be playing in the Super Bowl next week. He'll be starting in the Super Bowl next week. Earlier this year, he was considering retirement, because he is the backup to Carson Wentz, the MVP candidate quarterback for the number one ranked Philadelphia Eagles, who suffered season-ending knee injury in the 15th week of the season. He was able to start the 2 final games of the season and 2 playoff games, and led the Eagles to 4 straight victories from a man who was only a backup and from a man who was considering retirement. Nobody's been picking the Eagles to be able to win with that guy as a quarterback. But if he can pull it all together next week, he will have no problem getting a job next year. If he can pull it together next week, he will receive honor, praise, and glory from all the football fans in Philadelphia and many spread over this nation. Incredible adventure that he is in. A turnaround in the last 2 months. Incredible challenge, incredible trial, and an incredible opportunity. Only had 4 games to get ready for the Super Bowl. But if he wins, he gets glory. Title of today's message is An Opportunity for Glory. We're in a series called The Great Adventure. It is a study of the book of 1 Peter. And Peter writes in the year 62 to 64 AD, in which there is a great persecution that is being mounted against the Christians. But it is nothing like the coming persecution that will shortly come under the leadership of Nero. Bigger challenges are on the way, and Peter is saying, as you move through these challenges, you can get ready for the bigger challenges that are coming. Am I talking to anybody here today? He says to people that are in the midst of great challenge, George, you had some, you said the quitting the smokers hadn't been that hard. You've had the power of the Lord to grab onto, amen? You go through bigger things. He says, Peter is writing to these people that are in these great challenges and going through these great trials, saying you can make it through. God is with you. God is for you. God will give you strength. If you will grab onto him, God will give you strength to get to the other side of your challenges. Anybody got any challenges that they're facing this morning? Anybody use a little of God's power to get you through? Amen? That's what these trials are for, that our faith can be developed. And as you get through these trials, sorry, I got to share this with you, there are bigger trials that are coming, and God wants you to get ready. As you grab onto God, that is when you grow. Amen? Message from Peter is for you. You're thinking, oh man, it is so hard for me to find victory in my life. You can maybe relate with Foles. Here's this guy, he's only had 4 games, man, he's going to the big game. He said, all I got to do, pull together and you can win. That's what Peter's message is for you. Man, I don't care how big your trial is. If you would pull it together, if you grab onto God, you can find victory. You can find his power. And in that, you have opportunity for glory. Amen? We're going to talk about the great adventure today as we take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And what Peter lets us know is that we are lined up for victory. We are lined up for glory, and we are lined up for more. He starts off his letter. He says, Peter, identifying himself as the author and apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. And he starts off writing to these that are under persecution, telling them that God has chosen you. God has selected you. God selected Peter. Jesus chose Peter and sent Peter out with a message. God chooses Peter to send a message to those that he has chosen. And we start talking about those that are living in modern day Turkey. Now, this is what it looked like back in the time of Peter, and this is what it looks like today. You see, Istanbul. Hear about Istanbul in the news. Syria, Beirut, Lebanon, Iraq, Iran. There was drama back in the day, and there is drama lasting into today. Amen? It's an opportunity to grab on. It's an opportunity to grow in your knowledge and understanding and in the power of God. Amen? Now, we talk about God's elect. We talk about God's foreknowledge, and that he chose people to enter into relationship with himself. And immediately people respond in insecurity. What if I'm not on the list? What if he hasn't chosen me? What if I'm out in the cold? How can I rectify that? And that's exactly the wrong response that God is looking for, or the opposite of what he's looking for. Because what he's saying is you guys are in these perilous times. You guys are surrounded by your enemies. You guys are surrounded by impending doom and impact, and I have chosen you, apart from everybody else, to enter into special relationship with me. And he says, I don't want you to respond in insecurity. I want you to live in your lives of insecurity. I want you to find security because I know you. I know the number of the hairs on your head. I know your name. I know everything about you. I knew you before you were even born. And because of that, that we can go, okay, God, you've got this. You've got this handled. These people are living in persecution. God wants them to know that they are part of something big. God chooses people to enter into unique relationship with Him where they can experience His presence and His power. If you know Him, you can experience that in your trials. In fact, your trials are there to help you grab on to Him so that you can grow. Peter tells us that a component of this relationship is a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where He comes into our lives on a daily basis, causing our souls to develop and mature. It is as if He is our personal trainer, and He comes alongside in the midst of every trial. He says, grab on. Here's power. You can make it through. You can get through. And every time you grab on, your grip is strengthened. And you know where to grab, and you know how to grab, and you become accustomed, and your faith is developed, and God never leaves you alone. Amen? That is why our trials assist us in growing closer to God. All right, let's talk about, continue talking about our faith in verses 3 and 4. Praises be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And our hope is not focused on the challenges that we have, but our hope is focused on the good things that are heading toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And now, perhaps you come in here and you are just dragging. And you're going, man, I got to have some hope. Hope is lost. Hope is gone. The people in the time of Peter, they were subject to arrest and attack because of their faith. They needed some hope. They needed to be able to take their eyes off their current situation and put it beyond their current situation and say, there is something better that is coming around the corner towards me. Amen? They could be, for being a Christian, they could be arrested. Their property could be seized. They could be publicly beaten and whipped and flogged with these rods and all this kind of stuff. And this is before the persecution of Nero, in which it even got worse. And what would happen is you would get arrested and your property would be seized and the guys who seized it would take it. And so there was motivation for these attacks. They could lose everything in a minute. And Peter would have them shift their focus on what was temporal, on what could be lost to what could never be lost. An inheritance in heaven that would never perish or spoil or fade. And he says, this future that you receive is a result of God's mercy. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. So, in God's mercy, we receive compassion or forgiveness instead of punishment or harm. I have some other words up there that help you understand mercy and what it means. See, God in His great mercy chooses us to come out of lives of insecurity and gives us lives of security as we grab onto Him and as we experience His power in the midst of our trials. Amen? This transformation, moving from insecure to secure, is so dynamic, is so overwhelming, that Jesus calls it being born again. John chapter 3, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. It is the resurrection of Jesus that changes everything. See, mercy, you know, people talk about mercy and grace and all kinds of stuff, and it can get kind of touchy-feely and ooey-gooey and all that kind of stuff. I mean, all kinds of people want to be nice and do nice things. But God comes through. God shows his mercy to us through action. What kind of action? John chapter 3, verse 16. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus comes, born of a virgin, and spends his life moving to the cross, where he hangs on a cross to pay for our sins. We are sprinkled by his blood. Amen? So his death on the cross pays for our salvation, but it is his resurrection from the dead that gives us hope beyond the trials that we experience today. Amen? See, Jesus' resurrection from the dead gives us something to grab onto. And when you grab on, that's when you start to grow. Amen? Young man that is doing some growing. I don't know how young you are, Rocky, but you're younger than me. Matt, look at this microphone I'm going to use right here. It's Lisa's mic. There you go. We talked about the teacher's training that went on yesterday. And we've been doing this class on Wednesday nights. And Gail asked a question about a technical question a couple Wednesdays ago. And I got a text from Rocky that he had done some research on that question, and he had some answers for me. And I talked to him, and I said, you know, Rock, I got that thing. And I said, you're the only one who sent me something. And he goes, I just Googled it, Pastor Bob. I said, you're the only one. I said, you know what? I think God's maybe doing something. What do you think about going to this teacher training? And you said, okay. And then he sent me a text. Nah, I don't think so. What was going on there?
Well, I'm sort of insecure and afraid of, you know, making such a big commitment.
Yeah?
But, you know, after going.
So you ended up going. Was your wife twisting your arm a little bit? Because his wife went too.
She doesn't really pressure me at all, but her conviction to what she does for the Lord, you know, convicts me.
Amen. Amen. And, so you went yesterday with four other ladies all the way up to Covina, spent the whole day there. What did the Lord speak to your heart?
Well, the Lord is definitely softening my heart. And he, you know, I have a, you know, evidence from my kids,
yeah,
you know, that I need to be involved with the Lord. And
So midweek you're going, I can't do this. This is too big, and you see, and the opportunity came, said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and try this, and the Lord came close, and he's given you an opportunity to grab on?
Yes, he is.
Amen. Isn't that good?
Amen.
God will give you an opportunity. Thank you, Rocky. You, too, have an opportunity to grab on. All right, let's keep on going. We're talking about God's promises for today. And his promises come by all the time, just like they did to Rocky. You go, nah, I don't think so. Yeah, it's going to require some effort. It's going to require some labor. It's, you know, when God asks you to do something, it is bigger than you can do on your own. And it forces you to grab onto him. And as you grab onto him, that is when you grow. Amen? Amen. All right, we're talking about people who are grabbing on. And we're talking from verse 5. It says, who through faith, everybody say faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And part of God's promises for today is that divine assistance is provided. And the picture that Peter paints for us is God gathering his people and protecting them. Now, if you remember, who is this letter written to? Those who are scattered, right? And they are all alone out there scattered, and they are subject to attack, subject to persecution, subject to trial. And that is why God offers us protection and power because of that attack. Jesus talked about it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. You will be hated. Did you sign up for that? I just want to know Jesus. He says, you will be hated by a few people. No. He says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm, the one who grabs on, the one who finds growth, he is the one who will be saved. See, it's in our attacks that we are often able to grab onto God. Now, this is a great comfort to those who are living lives under attack. See, and in addition to this protection, he says, I got power, I got protection, I'm going to gather you, I'm going to shield you, some of the translations say. He also lets them know that these attacks and these trials and these challenges will be short-lived. He says, your salvation is right around the corner. And as you get an image and a picture of eternity, our trials are short. Amen? He says, make it through. Grab on. Get to the other side. You can know me. You can grab on and you can get ready. Now, the key to his power, provision, and protection is faith. Writer of Hebrews lets us know what faith is. Yes. Chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If you don't have faith, you can't grab onto God. In fact, in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, you don't got much. Amen? Let's keep on going. Verse 6, 1 Peter verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice. And he's talking about these people that are living lives of persecution now rejoicing. Let's talk about why. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We rejoice when we're able to connect with the Lord. Rejoice when we're able to grab onto God. Now these readers are in a struggle. They're in a real struggle. Attacked. They are suffering in these trials. That means they're coming home. They suffer grief. You suffer grief when you suffer loss. Amen? This is real deal stuff he's talking about. I think about the trials that Christians suffer or endure in the Middle East today. You're not going to be too far off. Some of you come in here struggling today, and you might think, Lord, send a little bit of that power my way. Can I get a witness on that? Lord, send me some of that power. Maybe I don't have to undergo any of this persecution at all. I can just slide on by. And you know what? There are those who will tell you that that's God's job, that his job is to protect you and bless you and make sure that nothing negative befalls you. And if that's true, you have to ask yourselves, why wasn't God just shielding these readers from this persecution? If that's true, you have to ask yourself, why was Peter crucified under the coming persecution of Nero? And you really have to wonder why we would be forced to rejoice in the midst of trials that are never, ever supposed to come our way. You know, talking about trials, Lisa and I were in Sacramento before we came here 18, 20 years ago. And we were part of an outreach by one of the largest churches in Sacramento, reaching out to a church similar to this in downtown Sacramento. Lisa and I were there for, I believe it was two or three years, and they were bringing a bunch of resources and teachers and all kinds of stuff that was there, and we were reaching the end of our time there, and the big church was refocusing their attention elsewhere. And the pastor was aware, because a guy on our board was on the church board at the big church, and said, we're not going to do this anymore. And so he was a former heroin addict, got saved in Folsom Prison. His wife had muscular sclerosis, advanced stages, and the funds were going to run out, and the systems were going to work out, and insecurity started to bubbling up, and it got to be a really hard place to be. You can understand. Amen? And there was this older pastor that Lisa and I had met, and he pastored maybe 45 minutes up the road, and I remember talking with him, and I said, I can't remember his name, but I remember saying, it is as if we're on a speeding locomotive, a train going 100 miles an hour, headed right for this brick wall. And he says, God tell you to get on that train? I said, oh, yeah. He says, has God told you to get off that train? I said, not yet. He said, you better stay on that train. You stay on that train because that's the only place that you will be safe. And we stayed on that train, grabbing onto God the whole time. Amen? Let's keep on going. See, we can experience the power of God, and we experience the power of God on that train. Verse 7, these have come, these trials, these persecutions, these challenges, these have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, so that your faith might be proved genuine and might result in praise and glory and honor to you when Jesus is revealed. It's like the end of that Super Bowl. Woo! Well, only half the team. Only half the people out there go, woo! The other half is going to go, oh. You know what I mean? One team wins, one team loses. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness? Well, thank you very much. See, our trials are part of the plan. The challenges are part of the plan. You have a challenge that you're going through right now, it's part of the plan. Because it gives you the opportunity to grab on, experience the power of God. It develops your faith. And as your faith is developed, you're able to grab on to God and grow. Ask yourself, when do you make great advances in your connection with God? Perhaps we have good worship this morning. Amen? If you rolled in late, I want to let you know we're starting on time. 10 o'clock on the dot. We're starting. You want to be part of the worship time? You want to be able to, because some people, a lot of people grab onto God in the midst of worship. Can they get a witness on that? Yeah. And maybe you grab onto God in prayer. You show up at 9 o'clock, or Aaron was talking yesterday about linking up with the Facebook. He goes, man, the Holy Spirit. He goes, I'm right across the street, and the Holy Spirit's coming right through that Facebook page right to me. I was on the other day, 7 people linked in. And you can experience and grab on to God in prayer. Amen? Oftentimes, the times when we grab on tightest is when we are in the midst of trial. When there is nowhere else that you can turn. Your back is against the wall. There's no place else to go. And you say, God! And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am right here. Grab on. Amen? See, we grow in our faith as we experience the power of God, and we experience the power of God as we grab on. And when he comes through and we pass through those challenges, we go, woo! Can I get a witness? Anybody done that? George is going, woo! How many days? 14 days? 13 days? $200. That's his smoke money that he been putting in a jar. Just think of that, 46 years of that stuff. Wow. I quit smoking when it was $1.25 a pack. Man. Wow. Grab grabbing onto God solidifies your faith. James talks about it, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, it's a mature faith that takes you through your challenge to the other side. It's a genuine faith that enables you to experience that joy on the backside of your challenges. Christian life in the time of Peter, similar to, I said earlier, life in the Middle East today. Christian life back then is a whole lot more similar to life in the Middle East than it is in the United States today. And you have to wonder, with our lack of persecution and trials and challenge, how developed that our faith truly is. And wonder at the end of the age, how much will we be able to join into the praise and the glory and the honor when Jesus shows up? How hard are we forced to grab onto God? How many opportunities do we have to grow? Last thing I have for you is verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, our faith grows when God comes through. When we, in the midst of trial, we seek a way through the trial, not a way out of the trial. Because, see, you're in the midst of a trial, and you say, oh, God, give me a rescue. God, get me out of this trial. And then what happens is, the grief and the challenge become so large that you live in fear. That, oh, I can never go there because that grief is there and that challenge is there, and you're surrounded by these mountains of failure because you have sought a way out rather than a way through. But when in the midst of your trial, you reach out and you can find the fullness of God and the power of God, and you begin to see the grief and the trials in the rear view mirror of your life. Can I get a witness on that? And you're looking back in that rear view mirror, you're saying, that ain't nothing. That is not nothing. And you begin to see how big and mighty and awesome God is. Why? Because you have now grabbed on and moved through the challenges of your life, and you begin to grab on to the promises of God, which are, nothing is impossible with God. Can I get a witness on that? Other promises in Scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And that's what the message of 1 Peter is to these first century Christians in the midst of struggle. God's chosen you. He is right here. And you can make it through. You can grab on. And when you grab on, that's when you grow. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? See, everybody here has got one side or the other on this, right? You have perhaps sought God for escape in the midst of your trial. And you become used to that. Every time there's trial, every time there's challenge, every time there's persecution, God, get me out of here. God's my rescue. God is going to save me from this by taking me out and putting me over here in a safe spot. And what happens is you become immobilized and you think that God is your little hedge of protection. And you're surrounded by mountains. And you no longer can move because you don't see God as a source of power to make it through. You see God as the big hand that moves you out of every challenge. And I got my little tiny life. But I love Jesus. Perhaps you are here and you've ridden the train. It's a white knuckle ride at times. And the challenges of God, the challenges of this world give you the opportunity to cry out, say, God, give me power to make it through. Give me a healing so I can keep on going. Lord, let me see the backside of this, because it's on the backside of my challenge that I go, woo, God is so good. Can I get a witness on that? It is on the backside of your challenge that you go, woo, hallelujah, I am celebrating the presence and power and provision of God in my life, because I have left my challenge behind. And he says, there's bigger stuff coming at you. Let's go. Let's go. I got what? I got faith. Because why? Because I have grabbed onto God, and every time I grab onto God, I grow. Now, maybe you roll in here today, and you feel like Nick Foles. Say, man, I've only had 4 games. It's such a big challenge. I can't do it alone. And God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Grab on. We can do this. He's put you in the midst of all these people. We're here to help you through your challenge. But it's a God thing. George will show you how to quit smoking. We all got victories that we can share. But I think a lot of the folks that aren't here today, they're surrounded by mountains. They can't get through them. They can't get through their grief and through their challenge, all that stuff, to get here to grab onto the power to make it through. Can I get a witness on that? See, they need some help. They need help from you. Maybe you're here this morning and say, oh, God, I've got this incredible challenge that is against me. I'm going to try. I'm grabbing on, Lord, but I need your help. Don't leave me alone, Lord. Put me with some people that can help me through. Can I get a witness on that? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this kid. I don't know anything about him. I just know that he's in over his head, and sometimes we feel like we're over our heads. But, Lord, with you, nothing's over your head, Lord. And, Lord, as we grab on, we can experience your power, your presence.